first time to Big Nerdy Questions, BNQ. 270 days ago, we put forth that the presidents of the United States shall henceforth be known as the Avengers. And in so doing, we cast the first original Avengers of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But alas, our business was not finished. And tonight, our same three, our loyal triumvirate, will reconvene to assign the rest of the Avengers presidential counterparts. So with me tonight on this endeavor, welcome back, Colleen.
Hey, everybody!
And Matt, of course, welcome back to the show.
Dead presidents, assemble!
Bum, bum, da, ba, da, 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 da. We will be getting into some interesting characters in just a moment, but first, we have a sponsor this week, don't we, Matt?
That's right. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library and Museum. Free peanuts with admission.
What the shell? Sorry, guys. That was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
I like Jimmy Carter, too. He's a very good man. He may come up tonight with some one of us. I don't know, but we'll see. But I also have a big nerdy recommendation tonight. When I think of presidents, I think they should all be somewhat competent. Cough, cough, wink, wink. So I thought of potentially an exam, which made me think of the movie Exam. It is a movie that came out in 2009, and it is a movie set in one room. And essentially, you have 8 different people who are vying for the same highly coveted corporate job, and they have to take a test, the titular exam. But what that test ensues and the interesting dynamics that are created make for a very tense thriller. It is a psychological thriller. There's not much gore. There's only one scene that has anything even resembling gore, and it's not shown that much. It is very much in the same sort of vein as 12 Angry Men, insofar as it is a dialogue-driven piece with characters you do not even know their backgrounds, in so much as the dialogue they bring to the movie is what informs you about who these people are deep down. And so really, it brings you in, and you are going to be very enthralled until the final scene. And I will say, which is something atypical for these kinds of movies, the resolution is actually somewhat satisfying. Typically, these movies have build and build and build, and then the answer to the problem or to the solution to the mystery is rather mundane. That is not the case here. The solution is inspired. So check out the movie Exam. Came out from 2009. I believe it is currently streaming on Netflix, on Amazon Prime. It also occasionally streams on Netflix. So please check this out. So that is my big nerdy recommendation. And I think it is now time to go into our characters. But first, just in case you didn't listen to our first episode, which is okay because you can go back on Podbean or iTunes or Google Play and catch it now. We will not shame you like Cersei, although if you'd like to be, that's your business. We won't judge you. But we'll go through and each run down our picks for the Tier 1 of Avengers. Colleen, will you tell us who you picked for your Avengers in our first episode?
Yes, and if I miss any, because my list is kind of out of order, just point it out. Okay, so Captain America, I had George Washington. Iron Man was Teddy Roosevelt. Thor was William Henry Harrison. Oh, my God. Hulk was Teddy Roosevelt times infinity. And who else did we have?
You had Black Widow as Edith Wilson, I believe.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, yes.
And Hawkeye, I think you picked Andrew Johnson?
Sure. I don't have him on my list, but
I think
will.
You did. I think so. And Matt, will you run down your picks?
For Captain America, I had Franklin Delano Roosevelt. For Iron Man, I had Theodore Roosevelt. For Black Widow, I had Andrew Jackson. And then Colleen had a bit of a tizzy about it. I had, for Thor, Harry Truman. For Hulk, Abraham Lincoln. Hashtag Abe Smash. And for Hawkeye, I had John Adams.
And my picks, I had Teddy Roosevelt as Captain America, JFK as Iron Man, James Madison as Black Widow, Lyndon Baines Johnson as Hawkeye, Harry S. Truman as Hulk, and Herbert Hoover as Thor. So we all had some interesting picks of all different chronologies or different time periods in our first episode. In this episode, we'll be going over the rest of the Avengers, Tier 2 and Tier 3. So as a brief rundown of the characters that you're going to be hearing about in this episode, you're going to be hearing about Quicksilver, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Falcon, War Machine, Bucky Barnes, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Nick Fury, and Phil Coulson. So we've got an interesting group of characters that you're going to be hearing about in this episode. And just like last time, we're all going to name our picks. Unlike with a normal B&Q, we're not going to have an answer at the end because all of our picks are equally valid. We're all our own casting directors in this format.
And Let's put a vote to it.
Yeah, the listeners can pick which ones they want most because I would love to see what you guys would want us to do. So let us know which picks we have right. You can email us, bnqfeedback, or bignerdyquestion@gmail.com, or send us a tweet at bnqpodcast. But I think we're going to start with Vision, and I think we're going to start with Matt.
All right. So just a quick note for the viewers, listeners, I suppose. So a Tier 2 Avenger, for the sake of this podcast, is being defined as someone who officially joined the Avengers at or prior to the ending of the film Age of Ultron. So that's going to be Vision, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. So for Vision, I have James Madison. And the reason I have selected James Madison is because he is this incredibly intelligent man who is absolutely pivotal to the survival of, in the case of James Madison, the new nation of America that was being formed, and in the case of the Vision, Earth. And their intelligence and wisdom were mostly taken for granted and many times outright forgotten about. And no one listened to them.
James Madison is the father of the Constitution. Without him, there is no country.
Yep. And without Vision, Ultron would have whooped us hard.
He would have kicked us in the ass.
There's a, as I was driving, I noticed there's a street called James Street, and the right next to it is another street called Madison Street, and I was like, I did that on purpose.
I see what you did there.
A fitting tribute, but is it a short street?
Oh, ha.
A little height humor for our Madison aficionados.
That would be Harrison Hefner.
Oh, God.
There is a Harrison Street, too.
Is it a one-block dead end?
It should be.
Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Oh, and I also just want to quickly point out, Josh, when you mentioned that we're like the triumvirate or whatever, that was very appropriate for those who are unaware that that was actually proposed, that they would have like a council of three to be original president versus having just a single person be in the office.
Sometimes yeah. I wish they would have gone with that.
Oh, my God. And then they could, like, duke it out, man. Like, woo! Anyway.
Yeah, it'd be entertaining.
I'm just imagining a three-way arm wrestling match.
I'll take Olympic events that will never happen for 400, please.
I know. Thumb wrestling.
Hey, that's a real sport. You can get serious carpal tunnel with thumb wrestling. Just saying.
Hey, I'm thinking at the Olympic level, man.
That's true. The world's smallest gold medal. You've actually put it on the thumb. So speaking of vision things, Colleen, who is your choice for Vision?
I picked Jimmy Carter.
Nice.
I gotta hear this.
Come on. Okay, first of all, I love Jimmy Carter. But also, it's just because I look at Vision and I think he's like super, like he's like the moral, you know, like he's like the moral compass of the group, even more so than Captain America because, you know, he's like not human. So he's just, and he seems to put like others above himself. He's looking at the greater picture, and that is totally Jimmy Carter. Oh, that man is like so selfless. He's amazing. And so that's why I chose Jimmy Carter for Vision.
He's still working with Habitat for Humanity regularly, actually doing it, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's up in his 90s now.
He's 92 years old.
I would argue that Carter is a machine. He's still alive. He's still kicking. His cancer's in remission. And before he was president and governor and all that stuff, he was a nuclear engineer on a sub. So I would argue that he's got the brain of Vision, no doubt. I mean, Didn't he want to convert the United States to the metric system in the 1970s? And, you know, people were like, no, I don't want something that makes more sense. Blah.
Anything but logic.
But
everything's multiples of 10. I don't get it.
Yes, because the imperial system is so much better. Thank you, Great Britain.
Thanks, Darth.
Can we Brexit from the imperial system?
Weren't you listening? Carter tried.
Yeah, he did. And then Reagan smash.
Reagan smash. Hashtag Reagan smash. I like that.
Well, Abe smashed in the last one. Reagan smashes tonight. Maybe Reagan is Ultron, but that's another show. So my pick for Vision, and it's super specific, but Vision is a computer that has amazing feats of intelligence that defy expectations. So my choice is James A. Garfield. And the reason is Garfield had a unique talent. He could write in Latin and in Greek with both hands at the same time. So he could write in Latin with his left and in Greek with his right at the same time to compose two different letters. It's not really a skill that's all that useful, nor all that important, but it is interesting and impressive as all hell, making him the one with the most intellectual feat. So for that reason alone, and because I wanted to tell that story, James A. Garfield is Vision.
And it is pretty cool.
And the real question is, could anybody at the time even read either one, Latin or Greek?
He could.
Apparently only, him. So I kind of want Garfield the cat to start writing in Latin and Greek. I mean, the comic's kind of gone downhill for a while now. It might revitalize it to make him a professor-type character.
Wow, Jim Davis is still putting him out?
Yep, he's still putting him out.
Huh.
I'll just be one word.
Same old jokes. The only thing different is now Garfield will make fun of how John is a sad sack because he can't find dates online instead of in the classifieds.
Meh.
Same
Take
thing.
Take some of the fun out of it.
I think for a while they put him on the Atkins diet.
Who?
Garfield.
John or Garfield?
No lasagna.
No lasagna, no! Garfield loves lasagna.
Hashtag no skinny cats.
Have you ever actually fed a cat lasagna? I haven't tried it.
No.
One of my mom's cats ate spaghetti once. She has weird pets.
It might work then.
I'm pretty sure my cat tried to eat me once. Does that count?
Are you Italian?
No.
Moving on. I think our next character is the man that flies, one of them, Mr. Falcon. So, Colleen, I'll start with you on Falcon.
Okay. So, for Falcon, my reasoning is pretty straightforward. I picked Andrew Johnson because Andrew Johnson followed the very popular President Abraham Lincoln, and Falcon followed the very popular Captain America for leading the Avengers.
Simple enough, accurate enough, I agree with it. Matt, who do you pick?
I have chosen William McKinley, and the reason I have chosen William McKinley is because both of them were great soldiers, but outside of being a great soldier, they're not impressive in any other way and really easy to forget. And my justification for that is specifically William McKinley enlisted in the Union Army as a private at the outset of the American Civil War. And after a battle, I think it was Shenandoah, he was commissioned to a second lieutenant for valor. And by the end of the war, he had gone from a private to a major. And all of his promotions were for his actions in combat.
That's impressive.
And nobody gave a single damn about anything he did as president.
Not a thing.
His
only, not one.
His only true claim to fame, there's two claims to fame for William McKinley. There's three. Number one, Ohio still loves him. He's Ohio's favorite son for some godforsaken reason. Sorry,
have
listeners
been
in Ohio.
Ohio?
It's true.
Did they have any other presidents from Ohio?
Not yet. So that's the only reason.
There you go.
Yeah. Reason number two, William McKinley actually started the trend of campaign financing that we have today. He ran his campaign from his house, and he would get corporations to give him tons of money to do advertising across the country in the big newspapers. And he was the first presidential candidate to have a system like that. William Jennings Bryan, who was his opponent, and ran in pretty much every election in this time period, was going across the entire country in train cars, getting tons of rallies, tons of support. He was the populist candidate. But McKinley was able to reach the voters that weren't as engaged because they only saw ads in their newspapers. And henceforth, you get William McKinley elected. It's close, but that's how he wins. And of course, number three, when McKinley's assassinated in Buffalo, New York, it leads to the presidency of Teddy Roosevelt, Bully.
Yes, Bully, yes, sir.
So those are McKinley's three claims to fame. And now a fourth one, being Falcon for Matt's cast.
That's right.
My choice for Falcon is actually based on my choice for Captain America as well. My Captain America was T.R., and so who followed T.R.? William Howard Taft. So my choice for Falcon is Taft, which makes for the most hilarious mental picture in the world of Taft flying over the White House with his wings. Yeah, that's amazing.
I don't think he'd clear the fence.
You are cleared for takeoff. It gives a whole new meaning to jumbo jet.
That jetpack ain't strong enough for Taft. He's not clearing the fence.
But yeah, Taft is still a really important president. He continued a lot of the things that TR started with the breaking up of the trust. Actually, did it more aggressively than TR in some respects. But he never gets any credit for it because TR was so popular that people just kind of said, you know what, we want TR back. And TR said, you know what, I want to come back. And in 1912, you get the three-way race between TR, Taft, and the man who won, Wilson, by default, because the Republican voters split their ticket between TR and Taft. So Wilson kind of snuck in by default. So that's why I've got Taft as Falcon, but also because the mental imagery is amazing.
Well, also, thank God, in a way, that Wilson won, because, you know, World War One, or U.S. involvement in World War One would have been totally different if that Roosevelt was in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. TR would have been much more aggressive. I mean, I like TR, and he showed that he could do a peace treaty. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for brokering the peace treaty between the Russians and the Japanese. But when the Americans were involved, he would not have stepped back. The minute the Lusitania goes down, he's at war. And recall that we don't actually go to war for about a year and a half after the Lusitania sinks. Wilson keeps us out of war that long. Now, you could argue that him staying out of the war that long is what causes part of the stalemate on the Western Front. But on the other hand, we didn't have any army built up at that point. We had no material to use to fight. It took us that long to build up something that would actually contribute to the effort. And also, by the time we got there, the Brits and the French had actually started making some minuscule progress beating back the German, the Kaiser's army back toward Germany. And wow, I know too much about World War One. It's one of my areas. We need to move on.
Well, just really quickly before we move on, you know the one thing that makes me glad TR was not president during World War One? It's very simple. The thing we would have to worry about the most is the fact that he would probably have insisted on personally leading the troops at the front.
You're right. You're right. And we would have been stuck with his vice president.
After
who knows
San Juan Hill,
been.
I don't trust that man with being in charge of warfighters.
Tanks. The first generation of tanks.
Just another thing to briefly consider, too, is that I don't think that Roosevelt would have been for the... the League of Nations, even if that would have even been created, because that was Wilson's brainchild. So,
yeah,
and
that was
right, and that was the precursor to the United Nations. So it's possible the UN probably wouldn't even exist.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility. Interesting one to point out.
Yeah. So, you know, food for thought.
Om nom.
Om nom Avengers. I'm sure that's a thing. So our next character is Scarlet Witch, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll start with Scarlet Witch. And in my book, Scarlet Witch's main claim to fame is that she can take over people's minds and in a way redefine how they think about things, quite literally. So I thought about which president most redefined things, and a lot of them come to mind, but I'm going for specifically one who redefined the way in a way that he became synonymous with the redefinition. I'm talking about James Monroe, who redefined what America's role would be in the world forevermore with the Monroe Doctrine. When he said, yes, when he said that the America, or America would not allow any European power to get involved in the entire American sphere of influence, north and south. And of course, at this time, there are still European colonies in the Western Hemisphere. So it's a quite controversial claim to make, especially so shortly after the War of 1812. But it becomes such a major part of American foreign policy that even today, when there's policy discussed in debate, which is rare, you hear the Monroe Doctrine brought up as a sacrosanct idea of American foreign policy. It was probably one of the reasons that Cuba infuriated JFK and the leaders so much when it went communist, because it was against the Monroe Doctrine since they aligned with the Soviet Union. Same thing with Reagan in Nicaragua. So it completely changes policy. So for that reason, I've got Monroe as Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, so the Monroe Doctrine, which was really stupid in a way, said that the United States was going to be the policeman of the world, and all the other sovereign nations in the American hemisphere, north and south, were like, excuse me, what? And so for that reason, as an American, I apologize to South America, Central America, and Canada.
Yeah, and the Caribbean.
Yes, do not ever forget the Caribbean.
I mean, Grenada? Ugh. We're sorry. We are so, so sorry. Haiti? We screwed Haiti how many times? I mean, Haiti's
all
been,
the times.
I mean, Haiti's been screwed by Mother Nature enough, but it's been screwed by us, too. And the French.
The Monroe pretty much, you know, screwed our relationship over with, you know, all the rest of the Americas. So, yay, thanks, Monroe, and everybody else.
But we can't deny that he completely changed the paradigm of American foreign policy.
True.
Forevermore. Not in a good way, but he did change how people thought. It was quite insidious, like Scarlet Witch can be if she didn't like herself.
That's true.
So, Matt, who's your Scarlet Witch?
Well, when I think of Scarlet Witch, her main power is the use of manipulation, intimidation, and fear to get people to act the way she wants them to act. And when I think of a president who uses manipulation, intimidation, and fear to get his way, there's only one president who comes to mind for me, and that's Mr. I'm going to make my assistants stand there and talk to me while I use the toilet, Lyndon Baines Johnson.
That is an inspired choice, sir. I mean, for a man who's, I mean, it was literally called the Johnson treatment, especially when he was in the Senate. And as you said, and it's not just assistants. He would bring in people, other senators, to what was supposed to be a conference meeting to hash out a bill. And he would have them have the meeting outside his toilet, and he would use the bathroom, turn around, look down, and have them literally examine the Johnson treatment and throw them off their game. I mean, it's horrible. And in a modern context, he would be arrested for harassment for doing it, Trump. But in that time period, it sadly worked.
Well, he was also famous for, during arguments, introducing his argument opponent to his personal assistant, he lovingly called Jumbo.
Yep.
So what we're saying is that he was, like, mentally unhinged.
Absolutely.
You know? And I mean this both literally and as is, you know, I mean, you know, it's a pun, it's a literal pun, but, you know, but people just should not have taken his.
The 12-year-old in me is giggling. The 30-something in me is also giggling.
LBJ put people through a lot of crap.
Yep.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, that's a good choice, all things considered. Colleen, get us out of the dumps. Who's your Scarlet Witch?
I was just going to quickly say about Johnson. I mean, he was a very smart and very, very smart person. You know, I mean, highly intelligent, knew how to manipulate the situation to his benefit. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick. My pick is slightly different. For Scarlet Witch, because of the ability to redefine, you know, the presidency and to get people to, you know, like you said, like change the way that they see things and just for being completely badass, my presidential pick is Hillary Clinton.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, she's very smart when it comes to using her advertising in her current campaign. She's very intelligent, you know, woman. She has literally taken so much from so many different people and she has not let it break her. She is awesome and I love her, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it makes sense. And to a certain extent, she has taken things people say is bad about her and spun it into a strength. Like the nasty woman comment, for example, in the third debate.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, who would have thought that would become a slogan instantly, but it did. So.
Thank you, Internet.
Yeah. And let me be clear, folks, just a little bit behind the curtain. Yes, you're listening to this after the election. We recorded this before the election, and we're hoping we're right about this. No offense if you disagree, but let's just make that clear. And Matt, it is your turn to start us off, and I know you've got a good one.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing with Quicksilver is the only president I believe who could ever be appropriate for Quicksilver is William Henry Harrison.
Yeah, I like that.
Because he did something flashy, and then he was dead. Bet you didn't see that coming. Well, you did, genius. And now you have pneumonia. Congratulations. 1 month in office. Really?
Yeah, just because the man wouldn't shut up.
Can we give a posthumous Darwin Award to William Henry Harrison?
Pretty sure he's already got one.
Oh, man. Golly day. I mean,
meanwhile, Teddy Roosevelt got shot during his speech and couldn't be bothered to stop talking.
Yeah. He was cut from a different jib.
That man wrestled with death and won.
Yeah, if death were a bear, he would have a bearskin rug.
Of death. That he would walk on, step all over, wipe his feet on.
I firmly believe Teddy Roosevelt would. This may be controversial. I believe Teddy Roosevelt would beat Chuck Norris in a fight. It doesn't even matter that he's already dead. He'd still win.
I don't even think there would be a fight. I just think he would show up and Chuck Norris would be like, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
He just walks away.
Yeah. I should also point out, strangely enough, that would be a plausible election because Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive and Chuck Norris is a member of the Tea Party. So we would actually have an interesting election if the two of them fought off against each other. I would pay to see that.
Yes.
So William Henry Harrison is dead, just like Jar Jar Binks will be in, oh, say, about half an hour. Colleen, who's your pick for Quicksilver?
Similar vein, I picked James Garfield.
Yep, quick croaking! Yeah,
because he got shot on a train platform. I mean, yeah, it took him a little while to die after that and everything, but, you know.
He was in office for less than a year, I think.
He was not. It was 1881, so yeah, it was, if you look it up, his went in office, 1881, that's it. So.
And then you get Chester A. Arthur, the name most synonymous with nothing.
I know. Who? Exactly.
Yeah, who?
Chester's Hot Fries? What?
Well, yeah. What about you, Josh?
My pick for Quicksilver. Because Quicksilver acted, he tried his hardest to do the right thing, but he acted rashly, and in so doing, acted in a stupid manner. George W. Bush. Sorry, people, if you are fans of George W. Bush, and I know this episode, this show isn't usually political, but I think that that description
there's is... There's no way...
There's no way this one's going to be.
Yeah, there's no way around it with this episode.
George W. Bush, in my opinion, and all three of us are trained historians, and I say this as a historian, he's going to go down as one of the most failed presidents because of how he acted so rashly, especially in the vein of foreign policy. He acted with emotion rather than with reason. He let people around him influence him, much like Quicksilver was influenced by Scarlet Witch, but also not enough. And in the end, Quicksilver's time with us will go down as probably more tragic than anything else. So George W. Bush is my choice, and that's that.
I think we've got tier two wrapped up, so that's going to bring us to tier three. Now, the qualifications for tier three are someone who has fought alongside or directly assisted the Avengers in the MCU. And for the record, the MCU does include the television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the Netflix series. So, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
But we are not recasting the series this episode. Just
correct. We are not recasting any of the series. The Tier 3 Avengers are War Machine, Bucky Barnes, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Nick Fury, and Phil Coulson.
So, we'll start off then with War Machine. As the first one, which, by the way, is the most badass name in our entire list, just saying.
Yeah.
And Colleen, would you like to start with Mr. War Machine?
Yeah, for him, I actually our earlier argument would have been a really great segue or discussion earlier. But I actually picked Woodrow Wilson for him because of the fact it was during World War One, and though Woodrow Wilson was trying to stay out of the war and all that stuff that we said earlier about, like, you know, if this hadn't happened, this hadn't happened, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, yeah. It's just, you know, World War One was led directly to World War Two, which led directly to the Korean War and the Cold War and all that stuff. So I picked Woodrow Wilson because it's just kind of like sparked that never-ending state of war that we currently find ourselves in.
That's a good choice. And also, I think you might argue War Machine, he is patriotic and slightly idealistic about the country, but also very naive about what the country's government is trying to do. And Wilson, when I think of a naive president, I think of Woodrow Wilson with the 14 points. Pure naivete.
Well, Wilson had a really good idea, but unfortunately Congress and the American people did not support that idea.
Yeah, exactly. The naivete was thinking that he could get it through without much effort. And of course, tragically, he had his stroke before he could finish the job.
Well, part of the, I think, issue with that, too, is Woodrow Wilson was very forward-thinking, and he was looking long-term, kind of like Abraham Lincoln did, you know, towards after the turn reconciliation with the South after the Civil War. So he's thinking long-term, thinking about, you know, peace in general, so something like this doesn't happen again, whereas Congress and the American people were thinking short-term, where they wanted to punish the Axis powers for the war.
Yeah. Matt? What say you for the War Machine?
For the War Machine, I'm going with George Herbert Walker Bush.
All right.
And the reason for this is because War Machine and George H.W. Bush both largely got written off as kind of like the sidekick or the watered down version of their predecessor. With War Machine, it was, of course, Iron Man. And with George Herbert Walker Bush, he was constantly being compared to Reagan. Well, and by Reagan, I mean an idolized version of Reagan.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're largely seen as, well, yeah, he's okay, but he's not as good as the guy before him. But they're both still really accomplished in their own right. I mean, War Machine was a high-ranking officer in the Air Force using the War Machine suit, which not exactly simple to operate. And I would say that one of the biggest accomplishments of George Herbert Walker Bush that a lot of people really forget about is that he's the one who signed the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that was considered a massive piece of civil rights legislation, being one of, if not the biggest piece of civil rights legislation after the Civil Rights Act itself.
Yeah.
A Republican president to boot.
Yeah. And the one other thing I have with him is that both of them stood on principle regardless of what it meant for them, because War Machine always stood on the principle that he needed to serve his country and do what was best for America. And I would argue George H.W. Bush did the same thing when he wrote the open letter in which he rejected his standing lifetime membership in the NRA because of an ad campaign they ran referring to members of the Customs and Border Patrol as jackbooted thugs. And he called it slander against good, hardworking people, and that he could not associate with an organization that slandered good people.
There you go. I personally am not a big, huge fan of his politics, but I've always admired George H.W. Bush as a man of principle. I think
Absolutely.
That's a good pick. So my pick for War Machine is Dwight D. Eisenhower. Eisenhower, synonymous with war, of course, being a general in World War II, and he was actually one of the earliest converts to tank warfare, and he still was that of that belief during World War II when he had Patton heading up the tanks. So Eisenhower is patriotic, the sense of duty for the country, but also people don't tend to think of him as a major president, even though he did a lot in office. People tend to think of him as the golfing president. That was where that meme started all the way back in the 50s. But he actually did quite a bit as president, both domestically and in foreign affairs. In domestic politics, he actually was the president that sent out the National Guard to protect the first African-American students in Little Rock after Brown v. Board. So he does have quite the legacy, but for some reason it's not usually seen as much. But because of the legacy, but also because he's synonymous with the military, I picked Eisenhower. Although, interestingly enough, a little bit of history there, on Eisenhower's last major speech as president, he told the country to not, or to avoid the dangers of the military-industrial complex. And I think that people generally haven't, but that's just my two cents on it.
Well, that, you know, the general rule of presidential farewell addresses, whatever they warn us about, we're going to do whatever the exact opposite of what they told us to do is, everything's going to go wrong, and then we're going to wonder why no one warned us.
We've been doing
that since Washington.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was the 1950s, and what was going on during the 50s? Oh, yeah, that's right, the Cold War. So I can see why, you know, he would warn against that.
Exactly. But I think good picks all the way around, and I think it's time now to go to Bucky. I should point out, by the way, War Machine is Rhodey from Iron Man, just in case anybody isn't aware of the connection. Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier from the Captain America franchise. And when I'm going to go first on this one. And when I think of Bucky Barnes, I think of a character who was a military person, but you know, had obviously went rogue because of bad circumstances, then came back into the fold. It's kind of hard to find a president like that who went bad and then went good again. That's kind of a hard storyline for a president. So I went in a different route with Bucky. I went with a character. I actually think that Bucky's abilities as a soldier are overrated because the Winter Soldier has never won in any of the MCU things. He always comes out losing either because he's actually bested or because he decides to change his mind. Or has his mind changed for him. So in that sense, a president that got way too much credit for their fighting ability when they shouldn't have, I chose Ulysses S. Grant. Because I think that Grant gets way too much credit for being a successful Civil War general when I think, you know, in reality, he was a mediocre general. He was decent, but really by the point that he took command, he was winning because the South was out of supplies, running out of viable men, what had fatigue. He had constantly new troops with the Conscription Act coming from the Union, and he also had a very aggressive general by the name of Sherman coming up from the South that had to force his hand in the North. So he wasn't a horrible... He wasn't a horrible commander, but he gets way too much credit for the victory in the Civil War when I don't think he should. And he rode the coattails of that all the way to the White House, where he actually ran one of the most corrupt White Houses in American history. Some historians actually say it was more corrupt than Nixon's and than Warren G. Harding's, and that's saying something.
Even more corrupt than the Teapot Dome scandal? What?
That's what they say. So yeah, Grant, I am not a fan. But that's just my personal opinion.
Isn't he on the money?
He's on the fitty. But we have a tradition in this country of putting the worst people on money. See Jackson, Andrew.
I can give you a little creepy Sasquatch.
Yeah, so that's a problem. But that's just me.
Oh, I swear to God, if I hadn't said it before, I'll say it again. We need to get Jackson off the 20 and replace him with American Indian. Justice.
They're putting Harriet Tubman on there, but he's still going to be on there with her, apparently. Justice. No, he needs to get thrown off and put Crazy Horse on there, just saying.
I thought Tubman was going to be on the $10 bill.
Oh, you're right. Tubman's going to be on the 10 with Hamilton. You're absolutely right.
Because, yeah, the $10 is the next one that's up for redesign, and then at some point, the 20. But seriously, Justice, get rid of Jackson and put a American Indian leader on there.
While we're on the topic of currency design policy, I actually like what was done with the euro. And that is, there are no people anywhere on the money, and it's all famous historical architecture. It's all buildings and bridges. So we would have things like the Washington Monument and the Golden Gate Bridge and maybe like the National Mall or
Old Faith. It's on the reverse. We already have that on the money, so it's on the reverse.
Yes, but they have it on both sides.
Different buildings?
No. No, okay. It's the same building on both sides.
Interesting. They also have different colors and different sizes for the people who need that because they're visually impaired. But we don't do that because America.
Yeah, apparently we expect people to be able to count. I don't understand that. But yeah,
that's hard.
Isn't there an app for that? You think the one country that wouldn't expect people to be able to count would be the one with the imperial system?
We are losing so many listeners right now. So let's move on. Matt, who's your pick for Bucky?
My pick for Bucky, well, for Bucky Barnes, I see him as, he's generally looked down upon by the other Avengers, and he's working so hard to do good things and overcome kind of not necessarily a bad, but a lackluster legacy. And for that, I'm actually going with the namer of our episode sponsor, and that's Jimmy Carter. Because he was kind of looked down upon for being, and they also both came from somewhat poor backgrounds. Oh, he's just some backwater peanut farmer from Georgia. What does he know about how to run a country? And the man to this day, yeah, he may not have been an iconic president like Washington or Lincoln, but the man has worked just about every day of his life to do right by other people.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I like your opinion on Bucky. It's much more optimistic than mine. Colleen, who's your pick?
Okay, mine's really succinct. I picked Ronald Reagan because he ended the Cold War.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of what Winter Soldiers do. Yeah, I like it. Reagan. Reagan smash again.
Team Reagan's blasting off again. What?
Yes. So now we're moving on to Ant-Man. And Colleen, you told me this, the one you had for Ant-Man was a bit strange. What did you mean by that?
Oh, no, it's not strange. It's straightforward, just like the other one. I picked, for this one, Donald Trump, because both Ant-Man and Donald Trump have small hands.
you just ain't going to go there, huh? Just going to go straight for it.
Hey, I already picked, I did one Hillary Clinton, I had to even it out.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. Grab him by the antenna.
I'm not hashtagging that.
I will go with that one, because I do believe Donald Trump is from another planet, so yes.
Yeah, but Ant-Man's is a helmet.
A space helmet? Donald Trump, I think, at home wears one of those little metal, you know, like, hats to keep the aliens out from talking to him.
It didn't work.
I know, it doesn't work. Proof.
But sadly, the aliens are all named Juan and Pedro in his case. At least that's what he thinks. Matt, who's your pick for Ant-Man?
I'm taking this in the complete other direction. So, for me, I see Ant-Man as a guy who he likes to make jokes, and while everyone else around him is taking everything just deathly serious, he takes the time, he believes in taking the time to find humor in things, and he, despite, you know, being silly and seen as kind of a goofball, he pulls off some incredible feats that even the people around him were like, I didn't think you could do that. And that is actually the sitting president of the United States, Barack Obama.
I like it. So we've got Barack Obama and Donald Trump. How will I break the tie? Well, my vote for Ant-Man is I also went with someone who's funny, someone who's sarcastic. He's played by Paul Rudd, so someone who was considered quite handsome and a little bit of a ladies' man. But in the end of the day, he gets a lot of things done. So I went with William Jefferson Clinton as my pick for Ant-Man. But I say that with a caveat. If Bill Clinton had the ability to shrink himself down and get into weird places, good Lord, imagine how odd that would have been. Imagine the things that Bill Clinton would have done.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's even worse with Trump. But yeah, just saying, Bill Clinton, and you would have heard his laugh, like, I feel your pain. Like, you're causing the pain. You're standing on my vertebrae.
Does anyone else hear a tiny saxophone?
Well, the thing is, Ant-Man can lift things that he can lift as a human even when he's small. So it would be the regular-sized saxophone being played by miniature Bill Clinton, which would be amazing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I'm not going to go there.
Oh, God. Well, you say that.
You said you're not going to, so need to.
I'm going to say it, but I don't know, Josh. You might have to take this out, cut it out, though.
All righty.
Because he's really good at blowing things.
I'm leaving that in.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, as an ordained minister, I think I can safely say you may be going to hell for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, it's more fun there, so they say. That's what Billy Joel said, at least. So, there's Ant-Man, and next we go on to Spider-Man. Spider-Man, he's presidential, like a can. Spider-Man.
You're done now.
I am done. Matt, who's your pick for Spider-Man?
Well, I'm specifically looking at the Spider-Man of the MCU, because we're looking at MCU. So, he's got to be young. He's got to be energetic, really enthusiastic, high-level optimism, and most importantly, he needs to be utterly incapable of shutting up. And there's only one president that fits the bill for me on that, and that is taken from us too soon, put us on the path to the moon, John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
I like it. I'm picturing JFK swinging through the buildings of New York. Of course, he would actually be swinging from between apartments of all the ingenues that he decided to date that night. But we'll let that slide for now.
Why does Marilyn Monroe always leave her window open? Now you know.
And that's the rest of the story. So my Spider-Man pick is actually, again, someone who is relatively young, extremely optimistic, someone who was scientific, because Spider-Man is known for his scientific mind, as a bit of a wunderkind, and someone who did talk a lot, who's selfless, and who actually wanted the country to start using more things naturally, like solar power. We've talked about it already tonight. The Man from Plains, Jimmy Carter, is Spider-Man. Also because Spider-Man is considered to be, even though he's in Tier 3, he's considered to be one of the main characters of Marvel. And Jimmy Carter deserves to be seen as a major player.
True facts.
Colleen, who is your Spidey?
I also picked JFK for the same reason. He's the youngest.
It makes sense. Yeah, I couldn't pick JFK because I had him as Iron Man. But for JFK available, yeah, it's a good pick. So now we're moving on to two men that are not heroes technically, but are heroic nonetheless. Nick Fury and Phil Coulson, and Nick Fury first. And Colleen, will you start us off with Nick Fury?
I picked, what's his name? Hansen. Well, I can't remember his first name right now. Blanking on it. Damn. But he was technically the first president, because in the little Continental Congress, they had to name somebody a president.
Oh, yeah, him!
Yeah, Hansen. John Hansen.
Yes, the zeroth president.
Exactly. I always get him confused with Jim Henson, whatever. But, you know.
They were both puppets.
Because they're not different at all. Totally interchangeable.
Well, you could be. I mean, Jim Henson, he had a bunch of puppets, you know, and you could see him look at the pictures.
One stabilized Continental Congress gave us Muppets.
You know, so, you know, haha, manipulating everybody. So, actually, yeah, no, I'll switch that, and I'll just go with Jim Henson.
So now I'm picturing Miss Piggy in the MCU, which would be fantastic.
Anyway.
That's a good pick for Nick Fury. 7 articles in this Constitution.
Yes! Matt brought out the Kermit! Yes!
Woohoo! Articles 1 through 3 should really cover the branches of government. And the last one certainly needs to allow for amendments in case we, you know, screwed something up. Like, say, counting human beings as fractions. Or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah. Or something on Monroe Doctrine.
Something.
We do know that Gonzo is three-fifths chicken. That was a horrible joke.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one.
Neither is Gonzo. Moving on. My Nick Fury, and it's not for the obvious reason, people. My Nick Fury is President Obama. And it's not for the obvious reason. Let me explain myself. Nick Fury is the organizer of the Avengers. What was President Obama's job before he was president? Community organizer. He gets people done. He assembles a team to achieve great things. Look at who he picked in his first cabinet. It was a who's who of experts. Even today, his cabinet still is. And JFK did that. Lincoln did that. But I think Obama's done it too. But because he was a community organizer, and that's essentially what Nick Fury is, the organizer of the Avengers, that's why I picked him. Not
that's one hell of a community.
Yes. And also because President Obama would look so badass in an eye patch and a leather jacket.
Yeah, he would. He really would.
I'm just saying, if he ever gets picked to be a Supreme Court justice, crossing fingers, that needs to be what he wears in the courtroom.
I don't know if he'll do the eye patch.
I'm just saying, he might. Which we actually should say, President Obama this past week pointed out his favorite science fiction things, and his favorite of all time is Star Trek. It turns out he's a big Trekkie. So he's one of us. He's a nerd.
It's oh my God, it's so awesome that you say that. Right now I'm wearing my red expendable shirt from Think Geek.
That's amazing. Yes. So, oh, President Obama, one of us, one of us. And when you get out of office, sir, when you get out of office and you have nothing better to do, if you want to come on Big Nerdy Questions to talk about anything, please feel welcome. We will welcome you with open arms, open hearts, and we will not, we will not obstruct your conversation, sir. We won't do it.
That'd be a different conversation then, wouldn't it?
It's an extended cut. Matt, who's
can you imagine how much our viewership would go up if Barack Obama retweeted us on anything?
I mean,
not that
he's a
hit for anything.
I'd actually like to hear his picks as a president of who we would get on the Avengers, but
that would be fun.
It'd be great. He does March Madness every year. Why not? But Matt, who's your pick for Nick Fury?
My pick for Nick Fury. Okay, so for me, I see Nick Fury as this iconic warrior, a great leader, and a brilliant forward thinker who is absolutely unafraid to do questionable things in the name of protecting his country. And plus, he's kind of the big man on campus, so I gotta give it to the original George Washington.
OG?
And the reason I mentioned the doing questionable things is that there's two things that he did, one as a general and one as a president, that were considered questionable at the time, and he did it specifically in the name of America. And the first was crossing the Delaware to ambush the Hussars in the middle of the night on Christmas.
Okay, you know what? That's just a misunderstanding. He was just trying to be Father Christmas. They got surprised. That's all it was. He was trying to give them gifts of, you know, lead ball and death. That's all that was.
Well, it's actually interesting that Dr. Seuss actually, because a lot of his works were political, he actually wrote How the Grinch Stole Christmas about the crossing of the Delaware. Most people don't get that when they read it, but it's really just George Washington stealing Christmas from the Hussars.
That's cold, bro.
Maybe he was just trying to be nice. He was trying to bring some holiday cheer, and it just got horribly misinterpreted.
They drank too much eggnog, had some crazy ideas.
It ended with hold my beer. And suddenly dead Hussars.
Yeah, it turns into a giant
horse. And the other thing was, after all the we don't want to have a standing army, and talking about, you know, the oppression of the British, George Washington used federal troops on American soil to put down a rebellion.
And that rebellion was about whiskey.
Because this is America.
And also, how do you think the rebellion got started? Hello, yet again, too much drinking.
Someone said, hold my whiskey.
Oh, man. So, once again, alcohol is the cause of...
It is the cause of and solution to most of our problems.
And speaking of things that make us feel warm and fuzzy on the inside, Phil Coulson, the man who came back from the dead.
In other words, he pulled the Harry Potter.
Yes, he did. No Horcrux can keep Phil Coulson down, am I right? Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I'll start with Phil Coulson, and I'm actually going with someone based on that. You see, Phil Coulson died in the first Avengers, spoiler alert. And then he comes back again. You think he's done. There's some years that pass. He comes back, and all of a sudden, he's just as important again. We have exactly one president who served two terms in a non-consecutive fashion. Phil Coulson is Grover freaking Cleveland.
which is just an awesome name if you want to get, you know, beat up in school.
What's your name? Grover.
And you're getting swirly.
I actually think, if I'm not mistaken, that Grover is his middle name, but he chose to go by it. So
oh my God, I have to look this up. How bad First name.
Yeah, he was a masochist. What the hell was his first name that was even worse? I'm looking it up right now.
It was Steven.
Steven?
Yeah, his name was Steve. Robert Cleveland's name was Steve.
So we could have had a President Stephen Cleveland?
I'm seeing why he went with Grover.
Cleveland. Oh my god, now it becomes clear.
That sounds like a name from the wrestling ring. Introducing Stephen Cleveland!
His wife's name was Frances Folsom.
Folsom? As in, like, Folsom Prison?
Exactly, yes.
So Grover Cleveland was singing the blues.
Stephen Cleveland. Oh my god.
And I should point out that the city of Cleveland is not, in fact, named for Grover Cleveland. It predated Grover Cleveland by quite some time.
Okay, it's my turn, right?
Yes, it is. Phil Coulson.
Okay, cool. So I picked somebody that no one's going to recognize because he's not a president. But
That would do it.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, okay, look, Coulson's the guy who never goes away. You try to kill him off, and he comes back. You know, you like him, you don't like him. It doesn't matter because he's always freaking there. So I picked this man, ran for president 12 times between 1944 and 2000, and was stopped only by death itself, and that was Harold Stassen.
That is really specific. That is incredibly specific.
What party did he run on?
He was Republican. He's called a perennial candidate. It's actually like a term that he's now associated with because he ran for president so many times.
And lost every time.
Every
time. Like on steroids.
Did he ever win a primary or anything?
He was governor of Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Before he started running for president, though. That was in 1943. And after that, he started running for president.
Wait, he was governor in the 40s and he ran as late as 2000?
Yeah.
Good lord!
Yeah, he was
born
in...
How old is that man?
He was born in 1907 and died in 2001.
Oh my god!
That's why I said he was stopped only by death itself, Coulson. Hint.
So he's running for president in heaven right now and not winning there
death
either.
That didn't stop Coulson.
Yeah.
He walked it off.
Yeah. He had one of those old school continues in the arcade. He put the coin in at the last second. He waited till like it was 1 second to go and then he put the coin in and it was like, I'm back, bitches.
Yep.
I imagine Phil Coulson talking like that when he's alone. And to wrap up this craziness. Matt, who's your choice for Mr. Coulson?
Well, I will say I am an avid fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I really love Clark Gregg's portrayal of Phil Coulson in all the films. He's popping up here and there, and he's got the show. I really like Clark Gregg. A little bit of a fanboy there. But for me, Phil Coulson is an utterly prescient man who did all these important things and then was promptly relegated to being a footnote of history. And I chose Dwight Eisenhower. And the reason for that is Coulson did the actual legwork of putting together the Avengers. Nick Fury was the idea man behind it, but Coulson made it happen. He's the one who recruited all of the Avengers individually. He's the one who personally went out, found them, talked to them, and evaluated them for their fitness to become a part of the Avengers Initiative. So the real person who put together the Avengers was Phil Coulson, and it required a ton of foresight on his part. That, and following the events of one of the MCU films, when I believe it was in Winter Soldier, when they had to fake Fury's death, and so he left S.H.I.E.L.D. Coulson took over S.H.I.E.L.D. from the shadows. Not immediately, but he eventually did after the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's an inspired pick.
But he's completely forgotten in the Marvel films after Avengers. There's no mention of him again, but his standing up to Loki and getting himself killed was the thing that finally got the Avengers to come back together at the end of the movie and actually fight and win.
Yeah, because he, like, totally guilt-tripped Captain America into becoming
hard.
A leader.
guilt tripped him hard.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what? If you had just, like, sucked it up and done what we were asking you to begin with, this dude probably wouldn't be dead now. How do you feel about that, Cap?
Hey, Steve, your biggest fan's dead because you're a whiny bitch. How does that make you feel?
And you didn't even sign his baseball card, you dick.
And now, look, his blood's all over it. And then Marie Hill's like, sir, that was in his locker. They don't need to know that. But the thing is, you know, Dwight Eisenhower did the things that you actually spoke about earlier with using federalized Arkansas National Guard troops to enforce the desegregation of Central High School in Little Rock. He was one of the real big things. He's the one who – Truman started the desegregation of the military, but Eisenhower's the one who actually enforced it and made it happen,
mm-hmm.
like actually desegregated the individual units. That was Eisenhower. He did all these great things that involved a massive amount of foresight. And we – and you know, outside of complete history nerds like ourselves – nobody really appreciates what he's actually done for his country.
And can we also throw in as general, D-Day?
Yes.
I mean, just saying, one of the most impressively organized military operations in world history. So he's got that going for him, which is nice.
I somehow knew that was coming.
So...
what was it? It was Operation Neptune.
Yes. 10 points to Colleen and her chosen house of Hogwarts, whichever that may be.
Oh my god, it gets even better. For the Battle of Normandy, the codename was Operation Overlord.
Yes, which was just, that was awesome.
So, Operation Loki? Not seeing a difference there. No,
Not gonna lie, military operations back in World War II had such, so much more badass names than they do now. Seriously.
Wasn't there like a... I mean, even Hitler's was like Operation Barbarossa?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the worst mistake he ever made militarily.
Operation Barbarossa.
It was a cool name.
Ha! Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. I'd like really to bring the character back, and she's no longer dead.
All he wanted was some apples.
Yeah, and he got some, even though he was rotten to the core.
We really need to keep a tally of how many puns you use. Any listener out there, please, for love of God, do that. We would like to know.
Well, we've actually developed a rule at work that Josh is allowed to make 3 consecutive puns on a topic, and then he is banned from punning on that topic for the rest of the day under penalty of me punching him.
Aw, that's not nice.
Yeah, but now his puns are much more varied throughout
Colin,
the day.
Colin, you remember that you were the one who used to hit me when I got over my pun limit before you left, so someone has to do it.
Someone has to carry off the tradition.
That's right.
So... there you go. On that note, friends, we have our complete cast of the Avengers, of American presidents, past and present, and those who would like to become president. It is a very interesting cast from all different time periods of American history. But of course, we want everyone's feedback. Please let us know who your cast would be of these characters as well as Tier 1 characters. Send us an email at bnqfeedback@gmail.com or bignerdyquestion@gmail.com or send us a tweet at bnqpodcast. You can also give us a comment on Podbean. Please, if you're listening on Google Play or on iTunes, please give us a review and give us a rating. That is how we can be seen by more people. And if you're listening and you've gotten to the end of the show, I presume that you at least like us enough or you've been distracted by your work enough that you find us not to be horribly bad. So if you've gotten this far...
or being used as a torture device.
Yeah. If you've gotten this far, please give us a review on iTunes or on Google Play. We would truly appreciate it because more people would hear us. So you get more crazy mashups like the ones we've had on this show so far, like Pokemon and Elder Scrolls coming together, Best Blind Dates in Star Wars, and, of course, the cast of the Avengers from U.S. Presidents. And we've got some more of these strange things coming up later on in BNQ. That's kind of our thing. More deep dives into characters, like our analysis of Anakin and Obi-Wan. And more specials, like the Halloween special on The Simpsons, which is where we're getting some great feedback on that one because we have some people who really love Ned Flanders out there. Who knew? So please give us a review. We would truly love to hear your feedback and to make us more visible to more nerds out there who can benefit from answering these big nerdy questions. That about wraps up our business tonight. So before we say goodbye, though, Matt, I believe you have someone you have to kill.
That's right, Josh. Because you see, here at Big Nerdy Questions, we make sure that every time we're on the air, Jar Jar walks away dead. So today it's going to be a little on the nose, because, well, turns out Jar Jar Binks is an avid hunter, and former President George W. Bush found that out and set him up with a hunting buddy named Dick Cheney. Turns out Mr. Cheney had run out of lawyers at the time, so Jar Jar Binks was shot in the face with a shotgun while hunting with Dick Cheney.
You know, that was the highest caliber Jar Jar death yet.
You said he was going to walk away dead. That reminds me of, what is it, Captain Nita, isn't it? From Star Wars.
Of course, if you say he's going to walk away dead, that implies that he's become a Force ghost.
Oh, hell no, because then he can annoy us for eternity.
Yeah. Misa immortal now! That's another show. Thank you very much, Colleen, for joining us tonight.
Yes, everybody, you know, Harold Sasson for president 2016.
Woo! Write him in. Actually, don't write him in. It's too important this year. But write him in next year for your municipal races. Woohoo! Matt, thank you for joining us tonight.
Clark Gregg for director of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, director of the show as well. And this has been Josh saying thank you very much for listening to Big Nerdy Questions, for getting through our presidential two-parter on the Avengers. Good day.